From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from Exodus chapter 8 and verse 28. Only ye shall not go very far away. This is a crafty word from the lip of the arch-tyrant Pharaoh. If the poor bondaged Israelites must needs go out of Egypt, then he bargains with them that it shall not be very far away, not too far for them to escape the terror of his arms and the observation of his spies. After the same fashion, the world loves not the nonconformity of nonconformity, or the dissidence of dissent. It would have us to be more charitable, and not carry matters with too severe a hand. Death to the world and burial with Christ are experiences which carnal minds treat with ridicule, and hence the ordinance which sets them forth is almost universally neglected, and even condemned. Worldly wisdom recommends the path of compromise, and talks of moderation. According to this carnal policy, purity is admitted to be very desirable, but we are warned against being too precise. Truth is, of course, to be followed, but error is not to be severely denounced. Yes, says the world, be spiritually minded by all means, but do not deny yourself a little gay society, an occasional ball, and a Christmas visit to the theater. What's the good of crying down a thing when it is so fashionable and everybody does it? Multitudes of professors yield to this cunning advice to their own eternal ruin. If we would follow the Lord wholly, we must go right away into the wilderness of separation and leave the Egypt of the carnal world behind us. We must leave its maxims, its pleasures, and its religion too, and go far away to the place where the Lord calls His sanctified ones. When the town is on fire, our house cannot be too far from the flames. When the plague is abroad, a man cannot be too far from its haunts. The further from a viper, the better, and the further from worldly conformity, the better. To all true believers, let the trumpet call be sounded. Come ye out from among them. Be ye separate.
All your commandments need all of
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans, he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Defending the Goodness of God. The text is found in chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. The Jews of Paul's day objected to his teaching that God has chosen some to salvation while leaving the rest to perish in their sin. They claimed that by doing so, God was either unjust or that he was not good. And these objections are still being raised to this day. Paul countered by arguing that God owes no man anything, since all men are sinners, not only by birth, but also by deliberate choice. It is purely of God's grace that anyone at all is saved, for mercy is the bestowment of a sovereign God. The problem with the lost is that they choose to reject the mercy which God offers in Christ. So God gives them exactly what they want, eternity without Him. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, defending the goodness of God.
Whosoever God will have mercy upon, He does have mercy. And whosoever He will harden or leave in his natural state to go the way of his own depraved heart, mind, and will, He will leave. The conclusion is that God is just in His sovereign treatment of all men, either in mercy or in judgment. Now the next section starts at verse 19, and there he defends the goodness of God. You'll notice that verse 19 introduces the second part of the charge against God. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? In other words, the argument here is that God's goodness is compromised by such a statement of the sovereignty of God as Paul has just given and as I have just tried to expound. You're saying that God's will is sovereign. It's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. He has mercy in whom he willeth mercy, in whom he will he hardens. Okay then, why is he finding fault with us? For who has resisted his will? In other words, this is the old argument of making the sovereign will and eternal purpose of God the excuse and the reason for man's sin and lost estate and eternal damnation. Paul's answer in verse 20 is, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" First thing, and I would to God we would never forget this. Paul is... You know, Paul was a philosopher, Paul was a theologian, Paul was a man of immense learning and logical power. And yet, he didn't employ it here. He just gets right down to brass tacks and he says, look, let these words sink in. Who art thou, O man, that would reply against, that would contradict God? And he's saying, look, will you stop and think for a minute? There's man. There's God. And you have man questioning God? You have man contradicting God? You have man finding fault with God? Who on earth do you think you are? That's the argument. God is beyond human criticism. And I want to tell you, that's the God I believe in. That's the God I believe in. I will not worship a God who is subject to my criticism, or who has to change according to the stupidities of my logic. I will not worship such a God. He would then be inferior to the very sinner who's worshiping him. I am glad to come to the limitless ocean of the vastness and the greatness and the glory and the incomprehensibility of eternal God. And the more I do not understand of him, the more I will admire him. Who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? And now he comes to some detail. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou formed me or made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? What he's saying is, as our Creator, God has the absolute right to make out of man whatever he wills. Oh, we hear so much about that's offensive to the dignity of man. Let me tell you, man is made to express the dignity of God. That's our whole purpose in existence. Everything that is exists for the purpose of declaring the greatness and the glory of God. But watch this carefully. The thing formed, say to him that formed it. The word form is the Greek word that gives us the English word plastic. It's a verb that means to mold, to form, to fabricate. Interestingly, it's used in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, of the different ways in which God formed Adam and then formed Eve. Charles Hodge points out, I think, very astutely, that Paul is not speaking of God having the right to create some men sinful in order to punish them. He and others, indeed, are pointing out that the subject is God's sovereign right to deal with sinful man according to his good pleasure. God never created a sinner. And here, isn't it interesting? Paul does not even get into that big thing that theologians wrestle with again and again and again, the eternal decree of God in relation to sin. Because for anything to come to pass, according to what we were singing in Dr. Minnick's beautiful rendition of the teaching of Ephesians 1, whatever comes to pass according to the good pleasure of God's will. That includes sin. But yet God never created sin. God never created a sinner. Paul doesn't even get into that. And I think maybe a whole lot of us would do a whole lot better if we had the wisdom of the apostle. Just stuck with what we know instead of trying to wade into what we cannot understand. This right of the Lord to deal with one as a vessel of mercy and make the other a vessel unto dishonor are two ways in which God deals with sinful men. All men are sinners. God is their creator. He has the right of the potter to deal with them as he wills, because the way he wills to deal with them will always be worthy of his own perfection. There's nothing unjust in God. In verses 22 and 23, Paul says, really, there's no ground to find any fault with God's sovereign judgment of the people he punishes. Now, if you read verses 22 and 23, you'll see that they're very difficult. And they're not, don't blame the translators in this. This is one thing I like about the Authorized Version, and I'm not altogether too pleased with some of the modern versions. They smooth out the difficulties. But you know, every time you smooth out a difficulty, you're interpreting, you're not translating. And many a time their interpretations are not accurate. The Authorized Version represents what Paul says here, and it's difficult because what Paul wrote is difficult. This is one of the most difficult things that Paul ever wrote. For two good reasons. Well, three. Number one, what he's writing about is difficult. Number two, he doesn't complete his sentence. It seems at times that Paul was just carried away with the tremendous torrent of words and the glory of the concept of truth. And he must have been a wee bit of an Irishman, because he never bothered to finish his sentences. That leaves you to finish them. And then even worse, more of an Irishman, his syntax is altogether broken up in bits here. So you've got an incomplete sentence with really broken syntax. And you'll see when you read verses 22 and verses and 23 that they just start something that they never complete. Perhaps the simplest rendering is the best, and I'm going to suggest other things that people have come up with. I'm going to suggest what Paul is saying here. You follow along in your Bible. What Paul is saying is, but... And I will have cause to notice that it doesn't appear in the English version, verse 22. You'll see what is in italics. Now, they may be right in putting what if. But the Greek text says, but if. Okay? Now, but if God, because he willed to show wrath and to make known his power, patiently endured the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Did he not have as much right to do this with them as the potter does with the clay? And did he not have the right to exercise that same sovereign choice in order to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? It's a very profound statement. Some people object. In fact, one of the most famous English commentators in the book of Romans says this is the worst part of the whole book. This is the worst part of Paul's argument. Here is Paul down in the depths. He is really unconvincing. I have to wonder the audacity of some of these fellows. And his argument is, okay, a potter has the right to do that with a lump of clay, but Paul Paul feels to grasp the fact that we are not lumps of clay. We're living souls. But you see, Paul doesn't forget that. He just puts it to a different use than that apostate wants to put it to. But, this is why I emphasize the but, in other words, there is a distinction between, there's a difference between the people that God's dealing with and the clay that the potter's dealing with. What is the distinction? The potter's dealing with a lump of clay that has no moral characteristic. But God is dealing with lumps of clay that He has made living souls. God is dealing with lumps of clay that have a moral character. And they are sinners by nature and they are sinners by choice. And therefore, you can argue that when a potter makes a vessel unto dishonor, or for some disreputable or unworthy purpose, the clay in that was as good as the clay in the other, and there was no reason for it. Why did he not make them all unto honor, make them all beautiful? After all, that bit of clay has as much right to look like china as that bit of clay. Why should it be made to look an ugly little garden pot or something? Paul is saying, listen, God is dealing with people who are inveterate sinners. And if He makes them unto dishonor, He makes them what they totally and entirely and absolutely deserve. And if He visits vengeance upon them, it's a vengeance they have merited. If He gives them up to the fires of everlasting destruction, it's a destruction they have brought upon their heads by their own wicked, selfish, sinful, godless, Christless, rebellious nature and action. You see very clearly, if the potter has the right over the clay, how much more has God the right to treat men as He wills? There's no injustice or lack of goodness in this. And indeed, there's no substance in the argument that He's neither just nor good to create men when He intends to destroy them. Notice what Paul says here, and this is a huge statement, that God purposes to make a full revelation of His perfections, not just of His mercy, but of His judgment. That God should fit some sinners for destruction. And I have to interject, there's a whole argument about this, because there's a very clear distinction in how He speaks of those who go to destruction and those who go to heaven. The ones who are saved, God prepared. The others are simply said to be fitted. And many believe they are fitted by their own action. And the word, grammatically, can be taken as what's called a middle, and it may well be they fitted themselves by their actions, or it may be a passive, they were fitted by the hand of God. Actually, there's no discrepancy here. I believe when the Holy Ghost uses these terms that are capable of the both interpretations, He means just to take cognizance of it. From what I've said, sinners fit themselves by what they do, what they are. But God fits them. Never forget this. When a sinner is cast out into hell, preachers sometimes poetically speak of sinners dropping into hell, slipping into hell. There's some biblical ground for that. Their foot shall slide in due course. But really, you don't slip into hell by accident. There is a hand that casts men into hell. He fits man for destruction. Why? Because He's being perfectly just with them. there will be people in heaven who will say, "My God, I am here, and I never did a thing to deserve it." That's the testimony of everybody in heaven. "I am here, and I never did a thing to deserve it." But I want to tell you, they're not the one soul in hell who says, "Oh God, I am here, and I never did a thing to deserve it." No, sir.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.